we'll look at birds in this edition of Wisconsin Life. In the summer months, a lot of people like to have songbirds in their backyards. While backyard birders may enjoy hosting nesting birds, the birds don't always build their nests in the best spot. Mike Paulus has been fighting his avian neighbors for years now.
I try to see it from the opposite perspective. I really do. I try to sympathize. I imagine myself snuggled in all cozy upon the couch, doing the things I like to do at home. I imagine myself reading a classy, thought-provoking novel while listening to classy music and sipping a classy beverage like instant hot cocoa. Then, exploding from nowhere, I hear bam, 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 and I feel the floor shake over and over again as something huge wallops the side of my house. Before I know what's happening, the house is falling, twirling, end over end as it, me, and 100% of my earthly possessions, not to mention my wife and kids, goes rocketing straight down, crashing into the hard concrete in utter ruin. I try to see it from the opposite perspective, from the perspective of the bird. I really do. But it doesn't help. Something inside me just can't stand to have a bird's nest above my porch light perched directly over the front door to my house, and I just gotta knock it down. Every year in the springtime, the nest appears. At first, I notice stray bits of stringy weeds littering the front step. Little pellets of mud are sprinkled before my door. I look up, and there it is. The foundation of a robin's nest. Just a small, fragile spiral of brown dead grass about the size of a filthy drink coaster. Taunting me. If I knock it down in a fit of preemptive nest annihilation, it just reappears within a day or two. I'm speaking from experience. Like fat, red-breasted ninjas, the robins return under cover of darkness. Instead of nunchucks, they bring twigs. Instead of throwing stars, they bring bird crap, and they fling it all over my step. If you're not diligent, knocking down the nest every time you see it, you will never win the battle. Because ninja robins are tenacious. Every year, I try to be diligent. I want to grab an old broom and poke, poke, poke the nest to the ground. But my wife says, "You can't do that. That's their home." I say, "They will rebuild their home elsewhere, honey. Robins are tenacious." What if that robin needs to lay her eggs right away?" she asks. "They don't have time to build a new nest. What about the babies?" And this is why, every year, I have a family of robins living in a nest stuck to my porch light with muddy nuggets of mud. And this is why, every year, for the majority of the spring and summer months, I'm scared crapless by actual angry birds dive-bombing within inches of my head as I dare to get the mail, wave to my friendly neighbors, or weed my weedy gardens, because I don't want to kill the babies. The robins are just a fixture in our lives now. I assume they're the same robins, season after season. My kids will grow up knowing them as our avian neighbors. Maybe we should give them names. In fact, I already have a few names in mind. Boom,
boom, boom. Mike Paulus is the online editor for the Arts and Culture magazine, Volume 1.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. The series is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. You can find information at wisconsinlife.org.
Switching gears on bird life, we've got a bird expert about how to attract birds to our backyards this summer and maybe the right thing to do if we have some unwanted nesters.
Andy Palios is with us. He's a wildlife biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Andy, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So there are some birds that are really a delight to have in the backyard. I'm thinking right now of oriole season, who have these beautiful flute-like songs. What do we do when we actually want birds in our backyard?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do this time of year, and of course in the spring leading up to nesting season to attract birds. Everything from planting good native trees and shrubs that they like to nest in and find food in to maybe putting out a little oriole feeder in your backyard.
And what is a good source of food for birds? One that, you know, say an oriole would like, and maybe some that are more broadly appealing to lots of birds.
Yeah, so the songbirds that we all like, mostly this time of year are eating insects. And so whether it's caterpillars or beetles or ants. So that's why having a lot of good trees and shrubs, or maybe even a little wildflower garden, is really important, because most of the birds that we think about in our backyard that we like a lot, like orioles, actually most of the year are eating insects for the protein and not the seeds that we think about in the winter that we feed the chickadees and cardinals and stuff. So,
well, I imagine when you talk about planting trees and shrubs that birds like, you don't want to have a barren backyard with little tiny evergreen bushes. You probably want somewhere that the birds will feel safe, maybe some larger evergreens. Are there any particular plants or shrubs, trees that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, if you're lucky, someone 100 years ago planted a nice oak tree, and so you can benefit from his or her forethought. But otherwise, yeah, I've got some nice spruce trees or some arborvitae in the backyard, and those are good escape cover or a place for a bird to put its nest. But otherwise, you're going to want things like dogwoods or oak trees or hickories, or, I mean, there's so many species of trees and shrubs native to the, you know, Madison area or wherever you happen to live. And there's lots of good resources online or through DNR's website that can help you kind of pick what's good for your area.
Well, we just heard from a Wisconsin Life commentator who wasn't too jazzed about the robin's nest on his house. Are there things we can do to discourage birds from nesting in a particular spot?
Yeah, absolutely. I was laughing at his characterization of his ninja robins. But robins, or we often get a lot of calls about swallows or other sort of birds that build a open cup nest on a platform. If they're doing it in an area like your porch light, or I'm currently looking at a robin in my front deck that likes to put it on our stoop here, you can basically, if you sort of prohibit the bird's access to the area, maybe put a little screen or netting over that area just temporarily, or you can even kind of affix some sort of plastic spikes or something to that area before the nesting season, and then they're going to look for somewhere else to build it. Or you can even, if you're crafty, you can even build a little platform nest and put it somewhere where you don't mind them being kind of out of the way, that kind of attracts them to that area.
What about a big picture of a hawk?
I'm sure the hawk might catch their attention once, but when it doesn't move for the next 6 days, they probably are going to ignore it. So
birds are brighter than that. Okay. Well, what about bird bass? Is that a must if you want to have a good bird scene in your backyard?
Yeah, especially in the middle of the summer, especially running water. So folks that have really gone to sort of these sort of solar-powered or battery-powered small fountains are really having good luck attracting birds on these hot, sunny days. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the sound of the water sort of running that sort of signifies sort of cool, clean water that's really, really important this time of year.
Now, as far as bird houses go, what do you do if you've got up your birdhouse and let's say it's a bluebird house, but you've got a cowbird in it? What should you do?
Well, cowbirds, despite their bad reputation, are protected, so you're stuck with them. But most birdhouses that are built are actually the hole is too small, or you can build it so that the hole is too small for the cowbird and just right for the chickadee or the house wren or whatever you want in there. So you got to kind of think ahead when it comes to cowbirds. But
and as far as the birdhouse itself, is there just sort of a basic one that we should think about?
Oh, man, there's so many good designs out there. And it depends on the species, but the Wisconsin Bluebird Association has some great designs on their website of things that have worked well for them. If you're into having a little house wren in your backyard, there's basically any sort of cavity, could even be like a weird ornamental sort of design. You could get creative. The wrens will definitely use it.
As far as sort of the crown jewels in backyard birds, what do we hope for if we're really going to get lucky with the birds we have?
Yeah, well, if it all depends on sort of the neighborhood you live in, but if you're in the city, you know, the real crowd pleasers are probably things like Baltimore Orioles, or in migration, maybe some rose-breasted grosbeaks, or even the, you know, pretty northern cardinals that are fairly common are quite striking birds and great songsters. So those are some of the most common backyard birds that people really like to attract.
And lastly, what about seed? Is there a basic seed you recommend when we're starting out?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the time of year. So I usually feed seeds mostly in the winter and in the spring when the seed eaters are kind of overwintering or migrating through. And the tried and true seed is black oil sunflower seed. It seems like most of the birds that we love really get a lot of good energy and nutrition from that food.
Okay, black oil sunflower seed. Sounds good. Andy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Andy Palios, wildlife biologist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking about ways to attract birds to your backyard.